Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his most holy word. Beloved,
thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God. We're glad that you're here today. Someone asked me yesterday, they said, "Pastor, have you noticed how God sends these snowstorms on Sundays a lot?" And I said, "Yes, I noticed that." And they said, "Would you have any reason, do you know why he's doing it?" And I said, "Well, I know one reason. He wants Pastor Tim to trust him." And today he really wanted Pastor Tim to trust him. We cleaned everything off and had it done by 7:15, and then after that, it snowed another 2 inches, and that's God saying, trust me, we're glad that you're here today. Let's pray right now. Father, we want to trust you, and we need to trust you, whatever it may be in our lives. God, you want us to move away from trusting ourselves, to looking at our own strength and power, and to put our faith and dependence on you. Father, you are trustworthy. You have proven clearly that you can be trusted. You have provided our greatest need. You've saved us from sin. You've saved us from a judgment that we deserved. You did it by sending your Son. Father, we rejoice in that, and we realize that because of that, we can meet together and we can worship you. May we continue to do that now. And as we look at the word that is before us, by your Spirit who dwells within your people, may we understand. May we apply its truth to our lives. And may we be changed for your glory. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish our study on the book of Jonah today, but we're not going to the book of Jonah to finish that study. Three times in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned Jonah during public conflicts with the Pharisees. The first mention of Jonah was a major conflict over the Pharisees' Sabbath rules in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus repeats what he said about Jonah in Matthew 12. And then in Luke chapter 11, we have a description of the same event that's recorded in Matthew chapter 12. And so basically, we have three places in the Gospels where Jesus speaks about Jonah, and those three references describe two separate events. I thought it was needed and I thought it was necessary for us to go to the Gospels because Jesus spoke about Jonah. And we've spent now several weeks looking at the book of Jonah, and Jesus himself spoke about Jonah. In each case, Jesus speaks about the sign of Jonah. If we read these passages quickly, and I would ask you, what is the sign of Jonah? You would probably say It points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that, folks, is a right answer. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 40, just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And so I think that Jesus was clearly speaking about His death and His resurrection. After 3 days and three nights, as we've learned in the Old Testament book of Jonah, Jonah emerged alive. You see, Jesus was making comparison to Jonah's experience in the belly of the fish. Jesus' resurrection would be similar, but much greater. The resurrection of Jesus would be the visible, miraculous sign that the Pharisees demanded, and we'll see that as we look in detail at these passages. But what I want to do today is to show you that the sign of Jonah is much more. Yes, it points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And frankly, we could probably say that's enough, but we want to look at these scriptures because there's more that we can see. It's not only a sign of the resurrection of Jesus, but it's also a sign of the judgment upon the Pharisees and their system of religion. And so let's look at Matthew chapter 12. Let's start in Matthew 12, and let's look carefully at this sign of Jonah. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Let's begin with verse 38. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah." Now, Jesus did not do signs and wonders on demand. He had already given these people who were speaking to Him, who were before Him, He had already given these people plenty of signs that He was their Messiah. They had seen Him heal people, cast out demons, feed multitudes, and even raise the dead. And now they are before Him and they're asking for a bigger miracle. Some sort of a cosmic sign. Could He make the sun go dark? Could He make the stars disappear? Folks, their request for a sign was not a serious inquiry. They had already made up their minds about Jesus. They hated Him. And no matter what Jesus did, they were against Him. Here in Matthew chapter 12, He healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. And what was their response? Look at verse 14. Matthew 12, verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and plotted against Him how they might destroy Him. In verse 22, Jesus healed a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute. And what was the response of the Pharisees in verse 24? They said, "This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons." Folks, they knew better. The proof was before them. They had seen it with their own eyes. They deliberately and they consciously attributed the works of Jesus to Satan. They willfully rejected Jesus. They deliberately deceived the people. And Jesus called this blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And clearly said that this response to Him would not be forgiven. And we know this as the unpardonable sin. And so their request for a sign was not serious. It's a sneering, cynical request full of willful unbelief. And Jesus knows it. He sees their hearts. Look at verse 39. He says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And it's like he says to them, I will give you a sign, but on my terms and my time. I don't do signs on demand for an evil and adulterous generation. I will give you the sign of Jonah. And that, folks, draws our attention to that statement that Jesus made. Look at verse 40. Consider the sign of the prophet Jonah. Jesus says, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." We look at that statement and it's obvious that Jesus is talking about His resurrection. He dies 3 days, three nights. He's in the grave. He says here in the heart of the earth, He is raised from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus would be an unparalleled sign to these religious leaders. Folks, it's a miracle that needs no human agency. There's no explanation for it except divine power. You see, healings can be attributed to psychological causes or natural processes. Even signs in the heavens can be written off as natural events like an eclipse or the conjunction of planets. But a resurrection, that's different. That's different. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ, which was foretold by Him repeatedly, proved conclusively that He is everything that He ever claimed to be. And it was the only sign God needed to affirm His Son. And so the sign of Jonah is definitely connected to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And as we said before at the beginning, it is more. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the heart of it, but there's more. And we'll see this when we put the Matthew 12 account and the Luke 11 account together. But before we do that, we need to say this. Jesus regards Jonah as a historical person. I mean, over and over in these accounts where Jesus mentions Jonah, Jesus interprets the record of Jonah as real history. And folks, this is important. Jesus took the Old Testament record of Jonah literally. Many people have doubted this record of Jonah. We've said that several times in the course of our study. Many people have called it myth or allegory or symbolic. The book of Jonah has been the target of many critics and scoffers, and their unbelief and their doubt have even influenced some Christians. But folks, here is unmistakable, here is unshakable proof that the Old Testament record of Jonah is history. Jesus Himself affirms the record of Jonah and even connects it to Himself. There's no doubt that here in Matthew's record that the sign of Jonah is connected to the resurrection of Jesus. But now let's dig deeper. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Let's look at Luke's record of the same event. Luke chapter 11. And let's begin with verse 29. Luke chapter 11. Beginning with verse 29. Luke writes and he says this, "And while the crowds were thickly gathered together, he," Jesus, "began to say, 'This is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. Now you look at that passage, and as we've just read through it, did you notice that Luke doesn't make that connection with the resurrection? He doesn't mention the 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish. He doesn't record those words of Jesus. Now, folks, it doesn't mean that there's a conflict between Matthew's record and Luke's record. It simply means that Luke focuses on the parallel between the ministry of Jonah and the ministry of Jesus. That's Luke's focus as he shares this same event. I want you to see this morning that there are three ways that Luke describes this sign of Jonah. First of all, the sign of Jonah was a message. Look at verse 30. Luke chapter 11, verse 30. The sign of Jonah was a message. For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so also the Son of Man will be to this generation. There's the connection between Jonah and Jesus. Then look at verse 32. Jesus says, the men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. So how was Jonah a sign to the Ninevites? See, that's what Luke says. That Jonah was a sign to the Ninevites. How was that? The simple answer, or the first answer, is this: he preached repentance to them. Now, folks, think about this. Nineveh was several hundred miles from the Mediterranean Sea, and in all likelihood, no one from Nineveh saw that fish spit out Jonah. Jonah just showed up one day in Nineveh and began preaching repentance. Now, there's some writers have maybe made an issue of what Jonah looked like. And I would have to say that if you were in the belly of a fish for 3 days, you probably were a mess. I mean, there would be physical evidence that you had, how would we say it back in West Virginia? You'd been through the ringer. And yet the Scripture doesn't give us any of those details. All we know is that Jonah just showed up one day in Nineveh and he began preaching repentance. And remember, it was a short sermon, 8 words. And it was in that capacity that he was a sign to the Ninevites. It's like Jesus is saying this: the Ninevites had no heavenly signs. What they got was a simple, straightforward message of repentance from a Hebrew prophet. And the people of Nineveh repented. They had no display of miracles and signs and wonders. They had the message of Jonah, the message from God through Jonah, and they repented. And folks, when you begin to think about it, it's no wonder that Jesus said that the men of Nineveh would rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, because the Pharisees and the people of Jesus' day had witnessed an enormous display of power and wonder and miracles. And they also had the teaching and the preaching of Jesus. And they refused to believe. They rejected him. And therefore the men of Nineveh who repented when they heard the message of Jonah would stand in judgment against this unbelieving generation, that generation when Jesus was there. And folks, this reminds us today that we too will be held accountable for the Word of God that we hear and the way that we respond to the Word of God. You see, the sign of Jonah, first of all, was the message preached. But there's more. Number two, the sign of Jonah was a miracle. See, we can't exclude the miraculous from the record of Jonah. He did preach. But Jonah was preserved 3 days and three nights in the belly of a great fish, and he emerged on dry land. And folks, this pointed to Jesus and his 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And Matthew makes this connection very clear. Luke's account here, I think, just implies it. The Pharisees were asking for a miracle of immense proportions. They wanted one of those cosmic, earth-shaking, undeniable miracles that no one could refuse. And the truth is, they got it. They got it. But only after their unbelief had reached the point where they put their own Messiah to death. And when the sign that they asked for eventually came, many of them were so hardened that they refused to believe. And after Jesus was raised from the dead and after he ascended to heaven and his disciples began to preach the good news of his death and his resurrection, multitudes in Jerusalem believed. We're told in the book of Acts that 3,000 people believed on the day of Pentecost, but most of those religious leaders, these same people who asked for a sign, they continued to hold on to their stubborn unbelief. The Pharisees and the religious leaders dismissed and rejected their Messiah Jesus, who died and was raised from the dead. The men of Nineveh would condemn them, stand in the judgment, and they would be condemned for this unbelief because the men of Nineveh believed the preaching of Jonah. So that's two aspects of the sign of Jonah. There's the message of repentance, and there's the miracle of the resurrection. And I see one more that Luke gives us. Number three, the sign of Jonah was a man. These Jewish leaders who stood before Jesus were in danger of hardening their hearts to any belief or faith in Jesus. And so Jesus now points them back. Think about this. Of all the prophets and of all the examples that Jesus could use to these hard-hearted people who stood before him, he takes them back to Jonah, the prophet Jonah. Jonah himself was a sign to the people of Nineveh. Look again at verse 30. Luke says it clearly. He says, "For as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites." Jonah himself, Jesus said, was a sign to the Ninevites. Now the people of Nineveh did not witness what happened to Jonah, but surely they learned about it. Here was a man who, having been thrown off a ship in the midst of a violent storm, should have died, but he came to them as one from the dead. He was a living token of God's power and God's grace. Folks, we have spent a couple months looking at the grace of God in the book of Jonah. Jonah was an instrument of God's grace. He didn't realize it. He didn't even want to be that instrument, but God used him. He was an instrument of God's grace in the lives of those people. His very presence in the city of Nineveh was a testimony to the greatness of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God. And here he is, a Hebrew prophet proclaiming repentance to Nineveh. His presence signifies great boldness. His ministry was a living display of the power of God. In Luke's language in verse 30, he says, "As Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation." And so the emphasis is on Jonah and the parallel with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ would be a sign to that generation. He signifies the embodiment of the power of God displayed by His life and His death and His resurrection. Jesus Christ Himself, crucified and raised from the dead, is the It's the sign of the prophet Jonah. There's the connection. Jesus makes it. His message of repentance and the miracle of the resurrection are important aspects of that sign, but it's the God-man, Jesus, the person of Christ Himself, who is the sign. And folks, don't lose the importance of these words to us this morning, because we have been given the full revelation of the Son of God. We have the fullness of the Word of God before us, the record of Jesus in the Word of God. And again, the question we ask, how will we respond to it? Because in all of these accounts in the Gospels, it's about their response to Jesus. It's about how they're responding to their Messiah. Now, those who heard the words of Jesus had a choice to make. They would either accept Him or reject Him. And to emphasize that choice and its consequences, Jesus then uses two examples from the Old Testament. Look at verse 31. He says, "The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. The wisdom of Solomon was so sufficient that it attracted the attention of the queen of Sheba from a very long distance." And folks, she had no sign from heaven. She had no miracle. She had very little light, and yet she responded in faith. And what about those who were and are exposed to the infinitely greater wisdom of Jesus Christ? The Queen of Sheba will stand in judgment against those who reject Jesus. And then look again at verse 32. Jesus says, "The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here." They repented at the preaching of Jonah. How much more accountable will those people be who reject the crucified and risen Christ? Folks, look at the truth that we have today. We have the gospel of the crucified and resurrected Savior Jesus Christ. And what is the gospel? God the Son came to this earth. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And God took our sins, the penalty and the punishment of our sins, and put it on Jesus. The full measure of our guilt, God placed that on His perfect, sinless Son, and He died in our place. And then God took the perfect righteousness of the Son of God, and by the grace of God, He took that righteousness and He gave that righteousness to us. And so He took our sins and put them on Jesus, and He took the righteousness of Jesus and He gave that to us. And the Bible says that He then raised Him from the dead to confirm it all. To affirm it all is true. And anyone who puts their faith in Him and Him alone shall receive forgiveness of sins, shall receive the righteousness of Christ, and shall receive eternal life through the crucified and resurrected Jesus Christ. The clearest message of the book of Jonah is that it points us to Christ. Jesus Himself did that. It directs us to God's grace that will save us. You see, a greater than Jonah. Jesus said, "A greater than Jonah is here." We would say, "Amen. A greater than Jonah has come. His name is Jesus." How will you respond to Jesus? How are you responding to Jesus? Let's bow our heads. Father, again, we thank you for your word. And Father, we need just a moment to let that word settle in our minds. And God, may it settle in such a way that we look at ourselves, we're convicted of any unbelief, of any doubt. God, help us to be thankful people that we have this full revelation. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior. Father, we are so grateful that this word that you've given by the work of the Holy Spirit will truly transform us. And God, our desire truly is that we who preach it and we who teach it and we who proclaim it would be faithful. Yes. Faithful to present it as it's been given. And God, that you would use it to bring people to yourself in salvation and to sanctify your own. May you be glorified, God, as you do that work even today. Father, I praise you for these weeks that we've had in studying Jonah. Thank you for it. It's in the name of Jesus we pray and ask these things. Amen. 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 Let's sing together.